it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to feel belief. You know, you want to feel excitement.
And, I'm not feeling it from you, Joe.
No, you're not getting it from me.
I know.
So, no,
that's
look,
what they've done to us.
You know, they have. I will say this. I said it earlier. I'll say it again. I know the Phillies can still win this series. I know they can. It's not I think they can. I actually know they can. But they got to go out there and do it. And the guys at the top of the lineup got to hit. And, you know, the relief pitchers got to, you know, actually relieve the starting pitchers. Not, like, give it up. Relieve them.
Relieve without walking.
You know what I mean?
Also, or hitting.
Yeah. And Rob Thompson's got to make the right decisions. All of that and, frankly, more. Let's go around the horn here. How we all feel. Because I'm curious where, as you listen to us today at 215-592-9494, it's a what you think, how you feel day. On all sorts of topics, whether it's the Casty thing, going with Nolan game three, residual game two, residual the last 3 years, the chance to still win, which is there. John Ritchie, how do you feel?
I feel resentful. I feel, you know, like I want to believe, but I feel resentful because this team deceived me and they lied to me when they told me that this year was going to be different and they were going to time it up better and they were going to peak at the proper time and it's all about tapering and they were going to do this. And the years of failure augment their ability to do it right this year. Like, I feel like that was all a bunch of hogwash. And so I feel, yeah, hurt and deceived and like I'm resistant to give them the credit that they probably deserve if they go out and actually play well tonight.
Well, you'll give it to them tomorrow if they play well tonight. I mean, we all will.
But that's I now expect, like...
You expect a loss.
In the face of adversity. Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, I expect a loss, but, like, who... Aaron Nola could go out there and pitch brilliantly, and like you were saying, Ranger could finish it off. It could preserve the bullpen. That feels like it's fully conceivably possible.
But that also was conceivably possible the last two games. I mean,
know.
Aaron Nola.
I'm just
aside.
So doubtful.
Well, you know what's sick, Devin? They got good starting pitching. Actually, lost.
They did. So, like, that does nothing for me. Even if Aaron Nola goes out there and pitches well. Which I know a lot of us are nervous about.
We just need offense.
Yeah.
Devin,
how do you feel?
I feel, so I don't know if anyone in this room is going to understand this reference. I know some people listening will, but there's a Tyra Banks gif where, you know, she's yelling at a contestant on her former reality show saying, like, I believed in you. We all believed in you. How could you do this? And that's how I feel. I think resentful, Richie, is a good way to put it. Like, in past years, I've been disappointed. I've been hurt. But this is the first year where I'm legitimately pissed off at this team because they made us believe. And I genuinely thought this year would be different. And look, it still can. It's still not over. So I'm holding on to that little, you know, sliver of hope.
It felt different. And you know why? I felt like Harrison Bader was part of why it felt different. There's a little bit more of a lift.
His injury has killed him, John.
And then he's injured. When it all matters, it's like all of a sudden.
Can we also talk about how, and I'm sure you guys touched on this yesterday, he comes in for his first at bat.
And what does he do? Makes it happen.
And he makes something happen.
We need a team of Harrison Baders. Whether they're great baseball players or not, guys who believe they can do that, guys who believe they can play like that, sometimes that's all that matters.
Well,
that's all that you need.
I don't know if you heard him speak after game one where he was asked about his injury, where, like, he just seemed so eager to get back out there. He's like, no, like, I'll be fine. Yeah. I'm going to do anything I can. And I remember watching it and hearing it and saying, this is the mindset that every single player on this team needs to have, and they don't. Yeah. They don't have it. So Harrison Bader is like one of the guys that I trust, even though
and you know what?
He's injured.
Devin, unfortunately, I think his body after game one deceived him because I think he believed that based on what he said.
And then we all saw the adrenaline.
But then the adrenaline rate, right. But then the reality of the injury actually set in over the next 48 hours. He couldn't really answer the bell. Now, it was great that he did for one at bat, but he obviously couldn't really play.
Yeah.
I want to hear from everyone. 215-592-9494. How do you feel right now as a Phillies fan? James, what do you got?
Disappointed. You know, like that. To their point, I'm resentful that I believed is not the right word for me. I'm not resentful. Like, that's sports. We believe. Like, I feel a little foolish for believing, but I'm not like resentful. I'm just more disappointed because they like. And look, again, we know that they can go out there and they can win. I don't expect them to. And it feels like the end of something. Like, I know that they can retool and they can change and they can still make the playoffs. Yep. And like, quote unquote, the run isn't over. But it definitely feels like the end of something. Like a moment in time at Citizens Bank Park with a group of guys that we fell in love with for a portion of time.
I'm
disappointed and I'm sad about it.
I'll add to that, James. If they exit quickly in the playoffs and they're on the verge of it, it's going to make next regular season much more difficult.
You
want to enjoy the six-month journey and not feel like a cloud's hanging over you. And I don't think that cloud will if they make a deep run but don't win the World Series.
I agree with you,
Joe. I think there'll be a general sense of being proud of the run they give us over the next, like, 3 weeks.
Especially now. Especially if they're down 0-2 and can go on a run here. It'd be like, all right. Like, they
fought.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
You know, but if they lose with a whimper, it's going to make next year really not fun in many ways.
And we're not going to have as many people saying, I believed.
Correct.
Because people aren't going to allow themselves to believe.
Rhea, how do you feel?
The whole point about that is the entire feeling for next year hinges on what they do over the next couple of days.
I totally agree.
I mean, and so to me, because if they go with a whimper tonight, don't be bringing all these people back. You're not selling it to me next year. So literally, they have so much riding on this. And John, you were so right about Harrison Bader, the attitude. I don't see that in the too cool for school guys, the Bryce Harpers, the Trey Turners. This guy, I think, would drag his leg around the bases.
Yeah.
I really believe that. And I get the feeling that these guys are like, if we do, whatever, you know. $700 million.
So I honestly don't get that either.
I do.
Yeah, I think they care a ton.
They're trying too hard at spots. I think Harper and Schwarber, I think they're overswinging. They're trying to hit the home run and get the pop in Citizens Bank. I don't think it's a not caring thing.
Well,
I just think they're built. I don't know if they're built the right way to handle adversity.
I mean, we can say
that's a different thing, but it doesn't mean they don't want to win.
I know, but they're just not winners.
I will say this:
that is certainly possible.
I actually don't agree with that. I will say that. I don't agree with that, but I'll say this:
it is possible.
I'll say this: if you really look at the stats, Bryce and Schwarber are not that much different statistically, hitting wise, in this series than Ohtani and Betts. It's really actually like the same thing.
It's the same, and Freeman
and
too.
And no one's saying those guys are bums. Now Ohtani went out there and pitched a great game. Betts made an incredible defensive play with the wheel play, and
didn't
et cetera,
Ohtani
et cetera.
Had the go ahead run the other day.
I mean,
I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about situations. I'm talking about guys who
are delivering
get
in
it
situations
done when it matters.
Yeah, but I'm also like, talking about if Rob. If Rob Thompson hadn't put on a damn dumb freaking bunt the other day with Cassidy on second. The Phillies could have won the game, and the outlook would look different.
Maybe.
And Bryce wouldn't be considered such
I will say, though, if we go back, the numbers have been flying around. Jeff Kerradim, if you look at the numbers since game six of the Diamondback series, and that is seven games, eight games. Harper's batting 192.
Yep.
Trey's batting 133. Schwarber's batting 107.
Yeah, no,
so it's not just this series. It's not just the Mets series. It has been the last seven playoff games or whatever, eight playoff games.
You're supposed to be able to elevate your level of play when it matters most. And I know that baseball is different. And I just have to suspend my own, I don't know, angst on this one. In football, bigger games, you find something deeper. You find something. You hit them harder. You run faster. You sacrifice more of yourself to win those games. And I don't see this team as being capable of doing that.
Oh, well, look, we'll take your calls. How do you feel? What do you think about this game? Like I said, to me, there's conflict within me, and I wonder if it resonates with you. On one hand, you do want to feel pumped up and kind of get excited. It's a playoff game. We know what it's like to not have the playoffs for 10 years or when I was a kid for 14 years before 07, or 10 years between 83 and 93. I mean,
it's 25 of 26 years or whatever that
was. So you want to get excited for a playoff game and the real chance to still win the series. But they got to go out there and play much better baseball to do it. So on one hand, you want to feel pumped up and positive that the opportunity is still there. On the other hand, you got the stuff dragging you down. They're starting the wrong starting pitcher. Rob Thompson has made whoppers in the past, which lessen belief because he's made playoff blunders that are incredible. The top of the order is not hitting and has happened before. The bullpen is not pitching well and has happened before. And Castellanos made his comments, and that has happened before. It's very aggravating. We'll talk to Ross Tucker shortly, plus Nick Sirianni in 10 minutes. Eddie in South Philly. Eddie!
What's up, Joe? How are you, pal?
Good, buddy.
Listen, I just have two questions, and, you know, I'm a frustrated Phillies fan, disappointed Phillies fan. Yep. They are who they are, but I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to root. It is what it is. It's in my blood. It's in my DNA. I just have two questions. So, Rob Thompson said after the game that he coaches his guys that if they do the wheel play, the bunt is off and they swing away, right? Am I right?
The bunt is off if they sense the wheel play is on, yes.
Which you could see live in the building on that first pitch.
The first pitch was a ball, and he squared the bunt.
With the wheel play on.
And they did the wheel play on.
Correct.
Why was the bunt thrown on the second pitch, and did Castellanos think the bunt was off because they showed the wheel play on the first
pitch? To be fair to Stott, because it's his...
And he's saying to Castellanos, too, if Castellanos thinks the bunt is off, he's not running the same way.
Well, hold on.
But Eddie, to
be fair, the Dodgers reconfigured their defense and then wheeled it up again. Like, I'll give you a for instance. When a guy squares the bunt on the first pitch, you don't know that he's going to square the bunt on the second pitch. The pitcher doesn't until... So, like, there was some deception there. I mean, we can't ignore that reality.
There was some deception, but if you're coached a certain way and Castellanos is in his head saying, I see the wheel, so the wheel is off, but the bunt is off, they're going to swing away, and then they square again. No, I haven't heard anybody ask this of Thompson or the players.
So what's the question? Was Cassie confused?
Did Castellanos think the bunt was off?
Yeah.
And why was the bunt still on the second pitch?
I don't know the answer to that. It is possible he thought the bunt was off.
Topper was asked about that, and he said basically that Stott had not seen it the way that the way that he was supposed to see it.
Eddie, here's the way I would read the situation. To me, it reminds me a little bit of a quarterback and a tight end. You know, when the tight end goes out for a route, a lot of times you got to make an adjustment based on where the defense is. Zach Ertz was so good at it, kind of sit it down, so to speak. To me, it's one of those things where both the hitter and the guy standing on second have to both read the situation simultaneously, and you hope that they arrive at the same conclusion of what the defense is doing. But they might not. I mean, to your point, it is possible that Castellanos did not think Stott was about to bunt. Now, you would hope once he squared, he would start moving his ass because now he is showing that he's about to bunt, but maybe that slowed him down for a second.
You can also say that maybe knowing that Nick Castellanos is not the smartest player, manager, third base coach should be giving signs. Like, this should be something where it's like, as the bunt is up, like, from the dugout, Cassie should be looking at the dugout, looking at third base coach, bunt's on, not on.
I got an exception with that. Stott's got to make the decision based on what he senses from the defense with 1 second before the pitch. I mean,
after the first pitch, you should coordinate.
But I'm saying each time, if the other team doesn't move until the pitcher starts his windup, there's really not, you can't look at the dugout in that moment. You just can't.
I'm saying after the first pitch, you got to decide as a team. Everyone has to be on the same page.
Yeah, but you're missing my point. If the Dodgers deceive you, you don't know until the moment they move that they're about to move. You don't. You don't.
But Eddie, they moved on the first pitch.
Eddie, I got you. Eddie, give me your second question.
No, that was a two-part question.
Yeah.
The two-part question was, why was the bunt still on, number one, and what did Castellanos think that the bunt was off?
I hear you. I mean, fair questions. They're worthy questions. Hopefully at some point get answered by Rob Thompson and Castellanos and Stott. I don't know the answer to those questions. I do know the game's 9:08 tonight, so know that. In 12 hours, we got a baseball game, obviously, here on WIP. I also know in the history of Major League Baseball, so there's this format, best of five, you know, in the most recent, you know, 4 years where you have all these wild card teams, then you get to this round. But even before baseball was formed this way in the postseason, they've been playing best of five for many, 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 many years in the postseason. And in the 90 times in postseason history in which a team lost the first two games, it is only 10 times that they have come back to win the series. So 10 out of 90. And by the way, some of them are where you lost the first two on the road. The Phillies are the worst case scenario.
Yeah,
I wonder what the numbers. First two
I wonder what the numbers are for that. It's got to be worse.
The Phoenix Suns did this in 1993. You might remember in the first round, they lost to the Lakers in the first two games at home, and then won three straight. Got all the way to the game six of the NBA Finals. It can occur, but it's hard, and the chances are slim. All right, let's talk to Ross Tucker. We're going to talk to Nick Sirianni coming up in a couple minutes. Ross Tucker, right now, we're going to be very heavy on the Phils. Ross, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning. Can I make a point about what everything you guys are saying?
Please do.
Everything you guys just said and the terrific point from the caller, from Eddie, all that does is fuel all the talk about why they shouldn't have been bunting in the first place. If it's that complicated, if there's that much that needs to go into it where Castellanos has to see it and what happened on the first pitch, second pitch, and then Stott has to know, but Stott didn't get the – all of that conversation just adds the point that he shouldn't have been bunting in the first place. If it's that complicated – listen, I stopped playing baseball in sixth grade. I was on the All-Star team, no big deal, okay? But – I don't know anything about bunting at that level, what they're supposed to do, but if it's that complicated, that's all the more reason why they shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. And by the way, if you're going to bunt, why would you bunt down the third baseline? Would you not bunt down the first
baseline?
Depends
where the pitch is thrown.
Yeah, and also it's a left-handed first baseman, so it's not as hard to throw for Freddie Freeman. He doesn't have to go across his body. You know what I mean? Like, if he's a right-handed first baseman, you definitely would want to, but with a left-handed first baseman, I mean, the third baseman...
Bunt it towards his right hand.
The third baseman has to...
Bunt it towards his right hand.
He throws left.
Yeah, so the third baseman has to turn around and throw. I think it's similarly difficult.
Yeah, I'll say this, Ross. That part's not as easy. It depends in part where the pitch is. I mean, That's not the easiest thing. But look, there's a ton of elements to it. Let me give you one element with this whole freaking thing, and I'm not talking about the bunt. I can't believe Rob Thompson's pitching the wrong pitcher tonight.
Can someone explain that to me?
Yes, it's a bad decision.
But like,
why?
When someone says, why are you pitching Nola over Ross. Ranger?
Okay,
what is his answer?
Because he trusts him.
There's three reasons. One, he
trusts him based on 2 years ago?
Ross, three reasons. One, he wants to pitch Aaron Nola. He wants to pitch him, meaning somewhere in the series. Two, he believes, and I'm sure it's true.
Somewhere in the series, Joe, they're down 2-0.
Ross, I'm with you. I'm just answering your question. Two, he believes, and it is true, Nola is more comfortable starting than relieving. And three, Thompson trusts him, which is stupid because he's got the highest ERA on the team.
You know what's amazing to me about this? If this goes poorly... Thompson's going to lose his job.
I agree.
Right.
Okay, so I guess on some level,
he's very aware.
I guess I'll give Thompson credit because he's, whether it's the bunt or this, he is making moves that I think are going to be the reason why he loses his job. So I guess I appreciate his guts or stones.
Because if he didn't bunt
Stott, if he went with Ranger. It would be this easy to second guess
him. Ross,
he's making it like so easy for us to say, what is he doing?
I totally agree. All right, Sirianni will join us shortly. Let's go to Tom in Abington right now. Yo, Tom. Tommy. All right, Tom, not ready to go. In the meantime, I want to get some audio related to Harrison Bader because Nick Sirianni Rod Thompson talked yesterday about Bader. We all wonder about his status for tonight. Frankly, I think the chances are very low. I mean, given the fact that he could barely run the other day, what are the chances he can freaking, you know, get five at-bats if he ropes a double, get to second, play the outfield, and catch a ball in the gap? Are you kidding me? I think it's very low. But let's hear what Rob Thompson specifically said.
How is Harrison doing, and is he in play to start tomorrow?
It's a game-time decision tomorrow. He said he feels a little bit better today, but we haven't been outside to run or anything yet, so we'll figure it out.
I'll be shocked. I'm just telling you right now, I'll be shocked. There's more on this topic as things continued yesterday.
Could Bader potentially DH and maybe put Schwarber in the outfield just to get his bat in the lineup? Or
well, he's still got to run. So if he can run, he's going to play center field, and we'll keep Schwarber in the DH spot. So that's the whole issue here.
Yeah, he's not going to DH. I mean, if he can't play the outfield, then he can't bat five times.
There's a real possibility. Remember, they said on the MRI that there wasn't a specific strain.
But look at him the other day.
I know.
He looked horrible.
The other day. But I know that there are other things you can do when you are at the peak of elimination. I know that medically speaking, when you're game two,
yeah,
you're probably not going to be as apt to do some things for a groin strain.
Here's my answer. You ready?
That would be doing in game three when you're about to be eliminated.
Well, here's where I'm at. I don't want the guy starting. I mean, I do, but I don't, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, of course, a healthy Harrison Bader or near healthy, I'd want him in there. I don't think the guy's going to be able to catch a ball in the gap at all.
I think if he gets a shot, he can make a huge difference.
I mean, I'll be stunned if he starts.
Or some other treatment. I think he might be closer than we think. I hope he's closer than we
think. I hope you're right. I hope you're right. I doubt you are, but we'll see. All right. Let's talk some Eagles. We got Ross Tucker with us right now. We got a game three tonight. We also got Eagles. Let me do my math here. Game six tomorrow as the 4-1 Birds come in for Thursday night football game to face the New York Giants tomorrow night. And, of course, the head coach of the 4-1 Eagles is Nick Sirianni. He joins us right now, presented by Bud Light. Join Ava Graham for Thursday night football at the Harleysville Hotel and win tickets to the next Eagles home game and sign merchandise. That is Thursday night, tomorrow night, and the head coach of the Birds, Nick Sirianni. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Boy, hi, Nick, coach. This is one of those rare weeks where you're everything you got going on pales in comparison, at least for 5 million fans, to what the Phillies have going on. I just want to start with that. We're all fired up in a lot of directions. But anyway, all right. Hope you're doing well. We know you took a tough one the other day. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll move forward, Nick. Let's just start with this question. This was the big one that I had, and I think many people had, Monday after the Sunday game. Did AJ's tweet and the aftermath centered around that with his what had been growing frustration, did those things affect the game plan to throw the ball more against the Denver Broncos?
No, not at all. Our job is to find ways to win every game. Obviously, we didn't do that. There were definitely some things that we wanted to take advantage of in the pass game. And I believe, for a good portion of the game, definitely first half, first drive, second half, we were able to do that. So, I felt like we were executing our game plan, but, we didn't finish the game as coaches, as players. And a good team came back on us and got a win. So we're focused constantly on what we can do to get better. It's a marathon of a season. It's a long season. And, our goal is to be playing our best football by the end of the year and get better at the things that we need to get better at to be doing that. But in no case was that the case because, again, we wanted to take advantage of some things. Obviously, we always want to be able to run the ball. That's been a formula for us that has won us a lot of football games and scored us a lot of points in the past. So, that's the way we attacked this game. Ultimately, at the end of the day, we didn't win the game. So, back to the drawing board. But we did what we thought we needed to do to win that game, but always want to get, our best players involved, whether that's AJ, whether that's Devontae, whether it's Jalen, whether that's Saquon, whether it's Dallas. We always are thinking of that, and that's the way we attacked that game. And, at the end of the day, it didn't work.
What do you say to critics who say the offense is too predictable?
Yeah, again, we are going to do everything we can do to make things complicated for the defense, put seeds of doubt in their mind, use our tendencies and opportunities to get, to get explosive plays out of that. I've always been taught good teams have tendencies. And that doesn't mean you don't work like crazy to fix those. But, the name of the game is to win, and the name of the game is to score points. And I believe, we're obviously, coming off of a loss where we didn't do those things. But in the grand scheme of things, I believe that we have done a good job of scoring points, done a good job of winning games. It's not just this week where they said our offense was predictable. It's been every week or whatever, whenever I answer those questions. Mm-hmm. Game for us that didn't go our way. Obviously we're on to the next, You know, there's not going to be a lot of we play the Giants tomorrow, so this is unusual that I'm talking to you guys, you know, sure, 2 days off of a game, but one game into a game, you know, one day until a game. I think you guys expect me, and fans probably expect me to be on to the next game, which we are, and the coaches are, and the players are, you know, and it's, and, you know, I always look at a loss as a great opportunity. Every game, every time you go out there, it's a great opportunity to get better. And every time you practice, particularly when you go through adversity, because, you know, you just, you know, we have a mentally tough team. We got mentally tough players. We got mentally tough coaches, and you know, you can let that sting for a second, and it does, and it should, and you can drag yourself through the mud for a little bit. But ultimately, you got to get the F up and move on to the next one. And that's where we are right now.
What's this team's offensive identity?
Yeah. You know, identity is something, I think that's like a kind of a term that, you know, when it's not going the way everyone thinks it should at that particular time, I think that word gets thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's normal. That's normal. And you're constantly trying to find that. Sometimes, you know, you find your identity in week 2, 3, 4, 5. I think a majority of these teams that continue to get better throughout the year, you know, continually find their identity as the season goes on.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We know that we want to be able, we always want to be able to run. We want to be able to, you know, create explosives. We want to protect the football. We want to be efficient in the pass game. I think at the end of the day, that's it. We always want to play with great fundamentals. And at the end of the day, that's the identity that you want, because it can look different every week. And good teams find ways to win every single week, and it really never is exactly the same. Sometimes you know, if you look at the identity of our team last year, you know, looking back to last year, you know, we were a team that ran the ball.
Yeah, Saquon was a bigger part of that identity,
no doubt. But then you look at the Super Bowl, and you look at the NFC Championship game, and the identity changed a little bit, right? You change based off, you know, what you do, what you got to do to win the game. So I think that word can get thrown around a little bit, where it's like, what's the goal? To win the game and to do everything you can do to be explosive, to be efficient, to be, you know, to do the things that you want to do. But at the end of the day, our job is to win as many football games as we possibly can. Yeah, we're pissed that, you know, we didn't win the last one, but what an opportunity to learn and grow and get better from.
Nick Sirianni with us here on WIP. Of course, we're getting ready for game, you know, 3 tonight of the Phil series, but also the Eagles tomorrow. Nick, the Saquon thing, I mean, you've been on the record before. You sort of just alluded to it there. You ran the offense largely last year through Saquon. I'm curious, do you think he is affected by the heavy workload from last year? It wouldn't be anyone's fault, but do you think his body is affected by that workload?
I don't, you know, because, you know, I've seen how explosive he is, you know, day in, day out, whether that's at practice, whether that's at, you know, in games. I think you see, you know, the same burst, the same juice that, you know, look at the 57-yard touchdown that he runs right by the guy and makes a great move. So, I don't. I think that Saquon has done an unbelievable job of taking care of his body. The trainers, the strength staff have done a great job of that as well. You know, Saquon's not the only one that went through 21 games or whatever, 22 games last year. It was the entire team. And we've had time to rest. We've managed the guys the way we need to manage them in the, you know, in the week leading up to the game. And then we do what we need to do to win each and every game. And so I see Saquon as, you know, the same player as he was last year. And, you know, it took some time last year for us to get things rolling on offense as well. And, you know, we'll just stick to the process and continue to go through the steps that we go through. I really do believe, like, it's, you know, when there's any sort of, you know, we're taught, I said this to our guys, when, in basketball, you're taught to, when all the things seem so, you know, the moment seems high, and when you're shooting a free throw, your job is to focus on your process.
Yep.
And I love the team's process, and I know that we'll continue to get better because of our process, because that's where the process, you know, gets you ready to play the game. The process gets you ready to, you know, put you in the right mindset to play the game. And we're looking forward to getting back out there tomorrow night.
So on the other side of the football, we're all fans are very excited that N'Kobe Dean is getting back, getting a chance. But now Jahad Campbell and N'Kobe Dean, who's your starter, Coach?
Yeah, obviously you have time to think through that. Obviously wouldn't want to give any of that information away. I respect that question. We know we got a really good room right there. You got Zach Bond, who's obviously played at an extremely high level through this past year and into this year. Jahad's played really good football. N'Kobe's played really good football. You know, and then you got Jeremiah Trotter, you got Smile Mondin that have been constants in these first 5 weeks on our special team. So really excited about that group. And Howie and his staff have done such a good job of getting guys in here. That's a deep, deep group. And in this league, as you guys know, you need all hands on deck. And so I'm excited about that and having, you know, with the possibility of getting N'Kobe back here soon. And we'll see where we go from there.
Nick, in a moment like that where you got to make a decision, where the team needs to make a decision, someone from the hierarchy, do you defer to Vic Fangio to make that call and co-sign it, or do you make the call of which defensive player starts?
Well, obviously, we talk through everything, right? I think everybody wants, like, who makes the call on this one? You're a team, you know? You're a team. You go through all decisions and all things like that, whether that's, you know, situations in a game, whether that's, you know, players on the field. You talk through all those things. That's what you do. So, of course, you talk to Coach Fangio in that decision. And, of course, you talk to Bobby King in that decision. You know, they're the guys that are with them every single day, in the weeds with them every single day. And we're, you know, and we are as well. So it's always a group decision, you know, that's in everything with football. I mean, it's the ultimate team game, and that's not just on the field. That's in the classroom. That's in the, you know, the meeting rooms. That's in decision making, you know, through everything. That's just the way football goes. And so we'll talk through everything, and at the end of the day, we'll make the decision that we think is best for the team. But notice that I said over and over again, we'll make the best decision for the team.
Coach, could you compare and contrast Jalen Carter's play last year to this year?
Yeah, I think that he... You know, I think that you'll see him making a bunch of plays, you know, a lot of plays that he made last year that he's making this year. You know, that whether it's a tackle for loss behind the line of scrimmage, whether it's a sack that he created based off of a pressure or that he created off of a game. You know, they ran a game and a stunt in the game on Sunday against the Broncos where Zadarius comes free, you know, with the attention that Jalen gets on him. So I think, you know, it's easy to look at, you know, I don't even know, does he have any it's easy to look and say, oh, he doesn't have a sack or he does have a sack. And why doesn't he have more? Well, it's a team game. He brings a lot of attention based off how the slide goes. You know, I know Morrow has two or three sacks. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that happens when the attention goes to him. But, you know, he's been making plays. He's been flying to the football. It's just a matter of time before he gets the ball out because he's pretty good at coming after the football. He's one of our better players there as far as being able to dislodge the football. And I see all those same things. And just so excited that he's on this football team and the energy that he brings and the playmaking ability that he brings. And, you know, those things, you know, those he's making plays, you know, and sometimes it's not so obvious on the stat sheet, but he's making plays just being out there because of the player he is, the effort he plays with, and the tenacity he plays with.
Nick, final thing here, as you get ready for tomorrow night, and we do appreciate some time from you, you know, the day before the game. I know that's not the easiest thing. I'm curious, you know, when you came here 5 years ago, of course, you brought the phrase dog mentality to Philly, and the way I've always interpreted it is just digging down in the midst of adversity and fighting through and doing whatever you got to do to handle business. Not really, frankly, too much different than mama mentality. Just handle the business you got to handle. I'm curious, in a situation where relationships can get complicated and a team can struggle at times, I imagine you're very proud that Jalen, AJ, and Saquon got in a room together this week and said, guys, let's get some stuff out on the table. Let's hash this out. And let's be a better unit as a result of this conversation. Is it fair to say that you're not only happy they did that, but you're proud they did that?
Well, you know, everyone's looking for ways to get better. And when the leaders on your football team are constantly doing that too, you know, that goes to the entire team. Like, what can we do to be better? Like, that's all we focus on, right, is, you know, how do we be better in tough detail and together? Because we know ultimately if we play tough, we play with detail, we play together, that leads to the good, you know, good results on the field. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily, you know, that gives you their best chance to play good. And these guys are hyper-focused on how do we continue to get better. And you love that from the leaders on your football team. I think we have a full football team that continues to try to find ways to get better. You know, and I think that we've shown in the past that we find ways to fix, you know, it's not all that different. I don't want to go back too much to last year, but it's like, you know, we were going through things last year and we found ways to get better and we found ways to continue to come together as a football team. And, you know, sometimes you lean on your past experiences in that, and it's like, man, let's just move on, learn from what we've done and find ways to get better. And when your captains of your football team are doing that, that always trickles down to the rest of the group. We do that. I say that to the coaches all the time. We better be practicing what we preach, because, you know, they're looking at us and I know sure as heck the rest of the team's looking at the leaders on this team. So, you know, it's just this growth mindset, you know, and the dog mentality of being able to be in the moment where you are, focusing on the process, because you know that the process produces the results.
Hey, Nick, good luck tomorrow night. We're all hoping you pull it out. Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Coach.
All right, thanks. All right, guys.
There he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. Little diversion in the midst of a football season, in the midst of a Phillies playoff run. Talking some Eagles right there. All right, let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day. Reminder, we've got Ross Tucker with us for about another half an hour as well. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Now in stock at Armin Chevrolet, the stylish and safety pack 2026 Equinox. It has arrived. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. First poll question, who wins tonight, Phils or Dodgers? Second poll question, do you agree with Rob Thompson's decision to start Aaron Nola in Game 3? None of us agree with it. I'll be curious how small the percentage comes in on Twitter with the poll result. I got to imagine it'll be really small. What Rob Thompson specifically said about that decision yesterday, because he shed more light on it yesterday. We'll get to that audio shortly. Third poll question. Seltzer, I'm looking right at you. Do you think Rob Thompson gets fired if the Phillies lose tonight? Yes or no?
Yes, I do. We've heard, I can't remember who said, there are really good options out there. I mean, like guys like Bruce Bochy. And you mentioned it. John Middleton is an owner, but he's also a fan.
Yep.
And I think that from a roster perspective, you know, they've got guys who are free agents and stuff, but there's still going to be a large core of this team that returns. And you gotta pull a switch somewhere, you know?
Yeah, I do know. Believe me, I do. Devin, you cover the team. I got to tell you, there's part of me that admires, obviously, the steady hand of Rob Thompson. Mm-hmm. And he's a great guy. Everybody knows he's a great guy.
Yeah.
I think I'm happy coming on WIP and criticizing Rob Thompson.
I love him.
Hundreds
he's so
of thousands
nice
of people
as
listening.
A human. He's
hate,
so
yeah.
nice.
I hate criticizing the guy. Right. I love the guy. But you know what, Devin? I think the decision to go to Aaron Nola is
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, I was going to say a monumental mistake.
I don't understand it. I really like Rob Thompson. I'm a big fan of his. I think, you know, I always kind of push back on the criticisms of him, you know, throughout the seasons that he's, you know, too lackadaisical and doesn't show enough emotion. I think he is just quietly, you know, stern, and he is a leader. He does have the respect of that.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of that clubhouse. That being said, he hasn't been a good postseason manager, and I don't think he's managed the first two games of this series well. And, you know, coming up short again this season, I don't think he'll be back if it happens again tonight or tomorrow, honestly.
I agree with that. It's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake studio. Let's give you what Rob Thompson said about the Nola and Ranger thing yesterday, because yesterday on the program we played what he said from Monday night, but then they had a press conference out in Los Angeles after they flew out there. Little team workout, press conference. Here's Rob Thompson, and I think it is a dead mistake, Rob Thompson, on choosing to pitch Aaron Nola as a starter in Game 3.
Can you go into a little more further explanation maybe why you guys wanted Nola to start Game 3 over Ranger?
Well, he's more comfortable with starting, one. You're going to see Ranger tomorrow. I would be shocked if you don't see Ranger tomorrow. So he's more comfortable starting. The numbers on their lefties are very similar, Ranger versus Nola. So just, and, you know, the trust factor that I have trust in both of them, don't get me wrong, but Nola's pitched some really big games for us in the last couple of years.
Is this maybe your way of dealing with some of the issues you guys have had in the sixth and seventh inning? Is that you start with a starter and then maybe your second starter can bridge it maybe better, hypothetically?
No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. I'd regret having either one of those guys not pitch in this series.
You know, there's five things, and it's hard in a fairly short clip to have five things I disagree with. There's five things I disagree with. Let me start with the last thing. He wants Nola in the series. I don't. He's got the highest ERA on the team. So I don't want him to pitch in the series unless you get to, like, the 10th inning, yeah, and it's like, hey, I might need someone to go for the next 3-4 innings. Remember, guy doesn't start on second base in the playoffs. So, like, to me, you might need a long man if a starter goes really short, and then you need someone to bridge the gap. Like, understandable. But I don't want Aaron Nola to pitch in the series. That's number one. Number two, he's more comfortable. Okay, I get that, but I go back to
point.
Well, I get that he's more comfortable.
Yeah, he doesn't pitch out the
bullpen.
But I go
back to point one, but I don't want him to pitch. So
right.
Comfortability shouldn't factor in. Three, we're hearing from Rob Thompson, Ranger's healthy. He wouldn't have said, you're going to see Ranger in the game.
Right.
So if Ranger is healthy enough to be in the game,
Why isn't he the starter? Why haven't we seen him in the previous
games too,
like he said he was going to be?
That too. His answer about trust is really foolish. I mean, guys, just to be clear, when Aaron Nola was at his best, Joel Embiid was at his best. It's like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Like, a lot can change in 365 days or 700 or 1,000 days. Like,
especially when you go from 29 to 30 to 31.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's not as good. Like, I appreciate and respect what Aaron Nola did in 2016 when he and Rhys Hoskins were the only two good players.
No question.
I appreciate what he did in 22 and 23 when he was neck and neck with Zach Wheeler, especially in the playoffs with outstanding. I appreciate that, but like that's not today.
At one point, but now what this is, what he has become to me is I'm just waiting for that inning, and maybe it's the third, maybe it's the fourth, maybe it's the fifth.
He doesn't get that
where
far.
Where he starts hanging.
He won't.
Oh, God, no.
Those,
he gets that far.
Those curveballs.
Yeah.
Look.
It,
one turn through the lineup.
Guys are waiting on that thing, and then it's just, there it goes. Everyone expects
that's a
this
really good sound
of
effect.
Him. Thank
it's
you.
Very, yeah.
I can also do the horse going over the.
Do the horse.
You don't. Okay.
So impressive.
It's pretty good. It's going to be Rob Thompson's horse out of town. Ross, I remember you last year referencing that. You know, you didn't grow up as like the biggest baseball fan, but I remember you telling us that your kids were really getting into it. And I always feel bad for kids in moments like this. I mean, on one hand, we are all calloused to this as adults, as Philadelphia sports fans. But for kids, this can really break your heart. Are your kids wearing this one right now?
Well, it's been agonizing because their three favorite teams are the Eagles, the Phillies, and Penn State football. And I know not everybody in
Philly. Wow.
I know not everybody in Philly likes Penn State. Devin, I saw your post. I get it. But so you think about Friday night. Then Saturday, it's like Penn State looks like they're going to actually come back and win it, and then they lose. The Eagles on Sunday look like they're going to win the whole game, and then they lose. And then Monday night, you know, we're in the basement. We're all watching together. Castellanos gets – I mean, we don't talk enough about how crazy that hit was by Castellanos.
You're right.
I mean, he
how
just,
did he
like,
bring it the whole way back
it
like
was,
that,
it was
too.
Low
yeah,
and
but,
outside.
But Ross, he blew it with what he did after that.
I understand. I'm just saying.
Because, Ross, I want to play audio for you, Dave Roberts. Wait till you hear this. This is unbelievable yesterday. So while Rob Thompson had his press conference, Dave Roberts also had one out there in L.A. Listen to something Dave Roberts said about the bunt. Listen to it's like an indictment. He's not trying to indict the Phillies and Castellanos, but he is. Listen to what Dave Roberts said yesterday when answering a question about the bunt. And
yeah,
from
it was
the Dodgers standpoint, the wheel. Listen to this.
Yeah, it was an impromptu play that I just told Mookie, you know Stott's going to bunt. He's a good bunter, and so let's just run a wheel play. And Max, be aggressive, field it, and Mookie, get over there and beat Castellanos there. And, you know, those guys executed it to perfection. It was a lot tougher. They made it look a lot easier than it was. And for me, that was our only chance really to win that game in that moment.
You know what? I want to take something back. I thought the first time I heard him say that, I thought he was talking about Casty. I think he's actually talking about his defense. So bad job by
me. Can I say something, Joe?
One second, Russ. When he said they made it look a lot easier than it was, I thought he was referencing Castellanos.
No, yeah, he was definitely talking about his defense. Yeah, yeah,
so
for
my
sure.
fault. Not an indictment of the Phils. Yeah. My fault at that. Go ahead, Russ.
I have a question. Yes, okay. Sir. When I hear Rob Thompson say, I want both these guys to pitch in this series.
Horrible.
Okay. That is like me as a middle school JV volleyball coach saying, we got to make sure this girl and that girl gets in. We're getting killed anyway. We got to get them in. Like, what is he? This is the playoffs in professional baseball. I want to make sure these guys get in the series.
Well,
that's like the wildest thing for someone to say out loud.
Well, you're right, but I here's the only thing I'll say in his defense, and then I'm going to crush Rob Thompson for this. He actually believes in Nola. Like, he actually believes in him.
Okay, and, but say that. And, don't say, I want him to get in this series.
I think that's what he's implying.
That's what
I don't
he's
think
implying.
He's implying, I want to get him in so he feels good about playing. Right. I think he's implying, like, Aaron Nola is good. I believe in him. I have to make him pitch in this series, is what he's trying to say.
I do get Ross's point where, like, I hear that, and I hear, okay, so you think you will likely lose tonight, and you want Aaron Nola to be able to say that
no.
he got in this
series.
I don't know. And how about
saying
this?
Zero.
No, but how about saying Rangers definitely going to pitch? So you're telling me Nola's not going to throw a no-hitter?
I think we all know that. That's why I said I'd be shocked if Ranger didn't pitch, because he has to leave open the possibility that Nola deals and goes for seven or something.
And Ross,
but I think he's clearly saying, I'm going to have a quick cook, probably.
And just to be clear, Rangers' ERA is like half of Nola's.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't even something
the
that should be,
especially
make sense.
In the postseason.
This is outrageous.
He really doesn't have that much. Like, so what I'm hearing as a not like a diehard baseball guy is, if he has that much confidence in Nola, why are you then so quickly saying, "Oh, you're going to see Ranger tomorrow night. He's going to get out there like that"? I would be so annoyed.
Dude, great
if
point.
I was a pitcher, I'd be so like, what? You don't think I'm going to throw a no hitter? Like, I it's such a weird thing to say. I'm going to go with this guy, but don't worry, you're going to see the better guy.
Listen, that's a great point. It won't turn into a no hitter, but I get your point. If Nola's dealing, why couldn't he go seven? If you believe in him so much, that's a great point, Ross. Let's get the whole thing is so stupid. Tom in Abington, yo, Tom.
Yo, gang. I'm not going to ask how you're doing over there because I already know how you're doing.
Yeah, dude.
Well, how are you doing, Tom?
Well, what I'm going to do, John, is I'm going to offer you guys the same level of intelligence, effort, and intensity in this phone call as the Phillies have shown me so far this postseason.
Were you about to hang up?
I knew that was coming.
Oh my God.
Bet everything I had as soon as he said that. I was like, he's about to hang. Oh, I knew he was gonna, as soon as he said that, you knew he was going to hang out. That's
he's so
the
proud best. Of
the only
right
possible
now.
Thing he could do in that
all right, Rhea, close to 35 years at WIP. Yes. Have you ever heard anyone equate
well,
effort
a little bit
from
much.
A team?
I'm not
that's
that long.
That's 30, pretty. Well, 30, how many? Okay, 30, what 30. Do I know? I'm 30. All right, sorry. Yeah. 30 years.
Yes.
I've never heard. That's pretty creative.
No, that's one of the best things I've ever heard. That's why Tom is like one of my literal favorite callers.
Tom is great. Tom or Nick Castellanos? Who are you a bigger fan of, Ray?
Oh, God, Tom, all day
so
long.
So for those that missed the Casty comments, let me give them to you from yesterday. This is a whopper. And honestly, if we didn't have, like, game three tonight, we'd be talking so much more about this Castellanos thing. But there's only so much time we can devote to this garbage. When there's a game to be played that's like, do survive and advance to game four or die, season's over. But just so you know what Casty said, after game two, he said the following, after the games at Citizens Bank Park, he said, I think the stadium is alive on both sides, right? When the game is going good, it's wind at our back. But when the game is going not good, when the game is not going good, it's wind in our face. The environment can be with us, and the environment can be against us. When everything's going good and you're rolling, it's a pain to play here when you're an opposing team because the environment is amazing. But if you run into adversity and the tide shifts, and now we're playing more tight because we don't want to be reprimanded for something bad, what a freaking bozo. Look, they get unbelievable support. Do I think sometimes some fans go too far with booze? Yeah, I do. I do. I think there are times where some fans go too far with some booze. But I know this. The booze in the playoffs, very justified. Very justified. The team has played a lame brand of baseball. They have not properly answered the bell for the playoffs. They had a freaking Duran entrance, not one, but two times, where they're in a hole, and it's like, let's play the Duran thing. You think that puts people in a good mood? And by the way, Casty,
how did
you
been one of
the
learn from the first mistake
I don't know.
In
I don't
playing
know.
The Duran
It
totally.
Wasn't like people didn't talk about it,
totally.
John. You're right.
Cow.
Like someone has
pay
some,
attention.
Pay attention. Someone have handle down there and say, enough.
Joe, they got a toy and they were going to use it regardless. And
I just don't think they even thought. I don't think they thought to tell the scoreboard, like to communicate
but James,
this.
But after game one, you tell
no,
that person.
Dude, I agree with you. I was one of the ones booing it because I thought it was such an absolute joke to do it again. But they clearly didn't like care enough to think about it, to run it up the chain and get it around and make it happen.
And to be fair, the brass has bigger problems, okay, than the frickin' entrance. But someone's got to have the wherewithal.
PR people who
totally.
Work for that team.
Come
a lot
on.
Of them.
Come on. All
and
right.
I'm not talking about the PR people in charge of the athletes. I'm talking about all marketing.
Somebody.
They're all around there.
Somebody.
Okay?
Somebody.
Wake up.
215-592-9494. Yes, Ray, you were not blasting our guy, John Brazier, who we love.
Listen, John and I have known each other for probably as long as I've been here. John and I have had. John and I once didn't speak for like a year.
Really?
We got into a bad fight.
Wow. So, no, okay, I'm sorry to hear that.
But look, because we're both like very passionate. You mean you've seen John?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Don't ever watch a Virginia game with him. He loses his mind.
I just look at the other John, Middleton. Like if I'm him and I say it, I make a phone call. Enough.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough. If we have the lead, yes. If it's tied, probably. But if we're down, no. It's very simple. Coming up, more with Ross. More as we get ready for Game 3 tonight. Including something Bryce Harper said. Interesting about an athlete's mindset when facing a game when the season is on the line. That and more. Phone calls on all these topics on 94WIP.
FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you won't want to miss. Go to FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, and new customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. Pick a bet, any bet. Bet $5, and if it wins, you'll unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays. You can bet player props. You can ride the live lines. Whatever your personal style, FanDuel has you covered. Visit FanDuel.com/JohnR, J-O-N-R, to download the FanDuel app today and get started. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94WIP.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.